We're going to be looking in Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Just a couple of verses this morning. Verses 14 and 15 of Joshua chapter 24. So go ahead and turn there. You know, Father's Day just never gets the attention that Mother's Day gets. Sue was talking to our kind of adopted family in Romania yesterday and asking Bogdan, the father, well, what do you do for Father's Day? He said, nothing. It's all for mothers and women in Romania. Fathers never get any recognition. So she said, well, I think you're a good father. A little boy was once asked to describe Father's Day. He said, well, it's like Mother's Day, only you don't have to spend as much on the present. And that's probably true. A study was done some time ago on Father's and Mother's Day, and on the day that Hallmark sells more cards than any, Mother's Day. The day where more long-distance calls are made, Mother's Day. But Father's Day is on top in one category. The day that more collect long-distance calls are made is Father's Day. Now, do people even make collect calls these days? I don't know, with our cell phones. But when collect calls are made and the person you're calling pays for the call, that's Father's Day. So we're not entirely, you know, neglected here. Even in the Bible, there's an entire chapter for godly mothers and women. Proverbs 31. Where's our chapter? We don't have a chapter in the Bible for fathers and men. But whether we have one chapter or not, the Bible is clear. And history confirms that godly fathers and men make the difference in a family and in a nation. Look, when there's a moral and criminal breakdown in society, it's very often directly related to the absence of a father in the home, isn't it? Look at the inner cities and look at the crime that is there. You'll often find that it's directly related to not having a father in the home of those who are committing these crimes. Well, today, Joshua, at the end of his long life, is addressing his nation Israel. And before we get into reading the actual text, he says in the 23rd chapter of Joshua, or it says in there, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, and he was 110 years old, according to chapter 24, verse 29, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to all of these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. And so Joshua, who took over for Moses, is now standing before his family and his nation, and all of chapter 23, most of chapter 24, is the address that he gives to the nation of Israel. We're looking only at verses 14 and 15, which are really encapsulate his message and his challenge to them. And verse 14, now I'm reading from my Bible of Joshua chapter 24, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river, that would be beyond the Euphrates River, and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Lord, help us as we consider this challenge of Joshua to take a stand with what this man is saying, that we will forsake all other gods, all other devotion, and we will serve the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the fathers in this room who have made that commitment for their families and for their nation. And we look to be taught this morning through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quickly, I'm not going to spend a long time here. There are three commitments that Joshua makes here in this. He makes, first of all, he speaks for himself, as for me. Then he speaks, in addition to that, for his family and my household. Now, we don't have any record of who Joshua married or who his children were. It's just, but we know he was married and he had children because he says, my household. And that not, but in that day, it not only included his blood family, but all the other people who were in his household, servants, and so forth. But then he also speaks for his nation. He says, and I'm speaking also to you, the rest of you, choose yourself this day whom you will follow. And as he makes this commitment, as for me, first of all, he said, I've got to take a stand first. And as for me, I'm 110 years old, but as for me, and he says this, fear the Lord, number one, serve him with all faithfulness, number two, and throw away the gods your father worshipped. The first is fear the Lord. In earlier in Joshua 23, verses 14 to 16, Joshua said this, now I am about to go the way of all the earth, meaning I'm going to die. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil that he has threatened until he has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you and you will quickly perish from the good land that he has given you. What Joshua means by this is this, God means what he says. He will keep his promises to you, but he will also fulfill his threats. If you go another way and you refuse to honor him as God, and when Joshua says, fear the Lord, what he means is, take God seriously. Honor him, worship him. God means what he says, good and evil. And it's very important for us as fathers to be God-fearing men. And not only that, fathers, but I want to encourage you also, you need to verbalize this to your children. They know you're a Christian, but you need to sit down with them occasionally and say, I want to tell you why I'm a Christian, why I fear God, and I pray that one day you'll fear God as I do. The second commitment that he gives, well, before we get to that, the second commitment, he says, serve him with all faithfulness. It's one thing to fear God. It's another thing to put that into action and serve God with all faithfulness. When a child sees his father serving God with all faithfulness, that makes a tremendous impression on that child. When Sue and I went to Hawaii in 2008 to take the ministry of the church that I was raised in from birth, in Hawaii, with people I've known for 40 and 50 years, longer than that, really. We were meeting in a school, a public school, because we didn't have room in our little church it had grown that time to over 400 people. And every Saturday, we had to go down to the church, the school, and set up for church on Sunday morning. We met in the cafeteria. And we had one of those big shipping containers that you see on ships out in the school parking lot. and all of our stuff was in there, the chairs, the tables, the toys for the classrooms. And they gave us classrooms in this school to use for Sunday school. So we had to set up the classrooms for Sunday school. We had to set up the cafeteria for church. It took 2 or 3 hours every Saturday and a lot of volunteers to come down. And sometimes on a hot Saturday afternoon or morning in Hawaii, setting up for church was a very difficult thing. One father always came with his two little boys. And half the time they were dressed in their Little League uniforms because right after that they had to go play a Little League game. One Sunday, the mother of those boys came to me and said, "Pastor, I need to tell you what just happened yesterday. We were at a baseball game, and my son got up to bat with the bases loaded, and he hit a home run, a grand slam home run, and his team won. We were talking about it as a family afterwards, and he said, 'You know, Mom and Dad, why I was able to do that? Because every Saturday, I get up and I go with Dad to help set up for church. And I've been doing that since I was 5 years old. And God bless me.'" You think that little boy was not impressed what his father was doing every week, taking his little boys down to church to help set up for church and saying to them, "Now, boys, we're doing this because God comes first. You have a ball game, but God comes first, and you honor God, and God will honor you." Now, I don't know if God actually gave him the ability to hit a home run, but whether he did or not, the point is this: that boy saw that his success was directly tied to his faith. Is that a great lesson? When I see fathers bringing their sons and daughters to work days, what a great lesson. Serve God with all faithfulness and God will bless you. 1 Samuel 2:30, "Those who honor me, I will honor." I remember The Chariots of Fire, one of the greatest movies ever made. Maybe not technically, but I sure enjoyed it. Eric Liddell, a Scottish runner for Scotland in the Olympics, would not run on the Lord's Day. And so he missed his event, the 100-yard dash. He had to pass it by. And his team was very upset at him. "Come on, Eric, one time, run on Sunday." No, I won't do it. So he had to enter the 400-meter race the next day, which was not his favorite race. And as he was on the starting line, ready to run, an American runner handed him a note, and it said this: "Those who honor me, I will honor." Meaning, you honored the Lord yesterday by not running on the Lord's Day. God will honor you today. He won the race. He won the gold medal. Great, great story. But the idea, that little boy is learning, when I honor God, God will honor me. Thank you, Father, for teaching your son that great lesson. The third thing he tells the people of Israel: throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river in Egypt. They brought them with them from Egypt in Israel. So there were still these old idols from the Egyptians that some of the Israelites were worshiping. Throw them away. Get rid of them. And also, he says, and then later the gods of the Amorites. So even among the Israelites, they were worshiping false gods. Joshua had distinguished himself in the wilderness for being a man who was uncompromising. Uncompromising. You remember the time when Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the promised land? And they came back and 10 of them said, "There's no way we can take the land. The people are giants. They outnumber us. We're going to be slaughtered." But two men, Caleb and Joshua, stood up and said, "No, let's go. If God says we can do it, we can do it." And in the book of Numbers 14, verses 6 to 10, Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked of stoning them. The two men who wanted to trust God and obey God, the rest wanted to stone. Because you're leading us into a slaughter by trusting God. This was Joshua now, at the age of 110, standing up and again saying, I don't know what the rest of you are going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God with or without you. Even at 100, it's never too late, fathers, to stand up and say, as for me and my house. Joshua speaks for his family. As for me and my household. He didn't say, now as for me, and I can't decide what to do with my other, I can't decide for my family what they're going to do. But as for me, no, he said, as for me and my household. And what he was saying is this. You know, fathers, we can't guarantee that when we raise children to fear the Lord, that they're going to fear the Lord when they leave home. We can't guarantee that. And some of you know, you have children that don't fear the Lord, and you raise them to fear the Lord. But what we can say this, as long as they're in my household, and as long as I'm leading my family, we will fear the Lord together. When they're on their own, then the decision is theirs. But as for me and my household, I will fear the Lord. There's a saying that's largely true, that a boy loves his mother, but he follows his father. How often that's true. I had a woman come to me and say, Pastor, I just don't know what to do. My husband wants to go fishing and hunting on Sunday, and I want to come to church. What do you think my children will do? I said, well, I know what your boys will do. They'll go hunting and fishing with Daddy. If it were my family, I probably would have done the same thing. Because boys, their father, that's who they want to be like. That TV commercial, remember the TV commercial where there's a father and a son? And they're driving, he's driving a car, and sitting next to him, his son has got a little toy steering wheel. And then the little caption, like father, like son. And then they're painting a house, and the father's painting a house, and the boy's next to him with a little brush going up and down, like father, like son. And then they're walking along, just tossing rocks, tossing stones, and the son is doing the same thing, like father, like son. And it goes through a number of scenarios where you see father and son, and then the commercial ends. This is, by the way, an anti-smoking commercial, okay? That's where we're leading. Like father, like son, like father, like son, like father, like son. And then finally, at the end, the father sits down under a tree, pulls out a pack of cigarettes, and that's the end of the commercial. And you know the story, like father, like son. The idea is, fathers, if you don't want your children to be smokers, throw away your cigarettes if you smoke. A child will love his mother, a boy will love his mother, but will often follow his father. But on the other hand, to the good as well, I love baseball. I grew up listening to as many baseball games as I could, and there was a great third baseman for the Minnesota Twins by the name of Harmon Killebrew. Great, and he's in the Hall of Fame. And in his autobiography, it tells about his father, who played baseball with his five sons. And they were out playing baseball on their front lawn one day, and a neighbor came by and said, Mr. Killebrew, you know, you keep playing ball on your front lawn, and sooner or later, you're not going to have any grass left. And the father looked at his neighbor, and Harmon said he watched his father, what he would say, and he said, I'm not raising grass. I'm raising boys. And he said, that is where I learned my priorities in life. When my father said that to my neighbor, I'm raising boys. And you know, we're raising children to be godly children. We need to forget about the other things of life that get in the way of doing that. This little verse here, his little arms crept around my neck and I heard him say, seven simple words I can't forget, seven words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul on the secrets no one knew. They startled me. I hear them yet. He said, Dad, I want to be just like you. Well, you know, when you hear that, I want to be just like you, you're tempted to say, no, you don't want to be just like me. If you knew all that's gone on in my heart and my mind, the things I think that maybe others don't see. You don't want to be just like me. But we follow those that we admire. And a child will admire and follow his father. And so what Joshua is doing here, he's saying, as for me and my household, as long as I'm alive, I'm 110, but as long as I have children or grandchildren or whatever he had at 110, we're going to serve to God together. And then he speaks for his nation. As he says, when he says in verse 14, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua didn't say, as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. What the rest of you do, I don't really care. He didn't do that. He said, I want this nation also to serve God and follow God as me and my household will do. And so then the people answered after he gave this challenge, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our forefathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in that land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. And then Joshua 24:31, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. As long as Joshua lived, Israel served God. When he died, then they rebelled. And then the time of the judges came, and they would become obedient and rebel over and over again. But as long as Joshua was alive and was challenged the people, they served the Lord. You know, it's never too late, fathers, to take a stand for God among your family and among your nation. Can you imagine if every godly father in America stood up and made this verbal commitment to God, how this would change our nation? Let me tell a story as I close. Maybe you've heard the story. It's of a lawyer by the name of Easy Eddie. He was Al Capone's lawyer. He was called Easy Eddie because everything came easy for him. He was brilliant. He was smart. He could go to court and defend Al Capone, a mobster in Chicago, who committed crimes of all sorts. He kept him out of jail. That was his job. And he had a good life. He was paid very well for his work. But there was one thing that Easy Eddie really, truly loved, and that was his little boy. And he was embarrassed that he was not giving his boy a good name and a good reputation to follow in his life. And so the day came when he had to make a choice. Go to court and either defend Al Capone or tell the truth, be honest, be a man, and set an example for his son to follow of honesty and integrity. He chose to be honest. And Al Capone was arrested, and within a year, Easy Eddie was gunned down by the mob. He was killed. He chose, and he knew what would happen. If I'm honest, if I turn against Al Capone, my life is over. But at least I will be leaving my son a father he can be proud of. Now the end of the story. Anybody been through to the O'Hare Airport in Chicago? I have. It's named after a lieutenant commander in the Navy in World War II who was an ace, a flying ace, flew off of the Lexington and flew a fighter. He single-handedly shot down 5 Japanese planes that were coming to bomb his ship. He received the Medal of Honor for that. And he died at the age of 29, serving our country in World War II. When the city of Chicago needed to name their new airport, they thought, you know, here is one of our own His name was Butch O'Hare. Let's name it after Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare because of what he did for our country. And it was named O'Hare Airport. And there's a statue of Butch O'Hare between Terminals 1 and 2 if you're ever at the O'Hare Airport. Butch O'Hare was the son of Easy Eddie, the lawyer for Al Capone. And so because this lawyer decided it's time to take a stand for what's right, his son became a great war hero and one of our American Medal of Honor recipients. That's what a father can do for his children. And so fathers, God bless you for what you're doing for your children. And if you're here today and you have a good you have a father who's a godly father and a father who loves the Lord and loves you, be so grateful because many people miss out on that. But honor your father. Give thanks to him today. The last verse of the Bible, the Old Testament, the last verse, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, I will send the prophet Elijah before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Wow. That's what God wants to do. Turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers. So God bless you on this Father's Day. Celebrate it. Be thankful for your fathers. Honor them and thank God as our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you today for the privilege of being able to come together and to honor our fathers and to give thanks to you, our Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that we will be fathers that honor you in the way we live and that we will set an example for not only our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but for maybe those around us we may not even know are watching us and wondering, what is it like to be a father who fears God? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Bless us today as we go. Thank you for your grace upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.